The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you today?
Oh, you beat me to it. I'm doing well. How are you?
Terrific. We have with us Michelle O'Brien, attorney Michelle O'Brien, from the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we discuss real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many exceptional realtors who've been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and get a live view of Dunmore Corners and see what's going on.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Look us up on social media, and don't forget about the podcast. After the show airs, we have the podcast apps on jruddy.com on the radio tab. Check it out there, and you can always listen to the show by way of podcast.
That's the way my sister listens, right?
Yes.
She'll be out for a walk listen. Listening.
Yes, I can always see the downloads. So
In Gettysburg.
Yes, in Gettysburg. Okay, Attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. Who are you? Where do you have your office, and what do you do?
Sure, please. I'm Michelle O'Brien. I've been a practicing lawyer for over 20 years. I practice at the O'Brien Law Group, and we are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor. Phone number is 570-209-7901. I also own a title company called Pinnacle Abstract, and it is in the same office as the law firm.
And you should always have an attorney involved in any real estate transaction. Would you say that's a good rule of thumb?
Of course I would. It's self-serving, but I think it's a good idea.
Right. Some states require a attorney of you, right? New York does. I'm pretty sure New Jersey does, too. So
absolutely.
Pennsylvania doesn't, but I think it's foolish. I think it's the biggest investment, the biggest purchase you're probably ever going to make in your life. Absolutely protect yourself and have an attorney involved.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you have a good realtor, they can explain to you what's in the document and what kind of timelines to look out for and what things stand out about that specific property. But a lawyer always, at least in Pennsylvania, you don't have to have a lawyer review it. But like you were saying, in New York and New Jersey, you do. There's a reason they require that. It is another person to be a sounding board who understands the law in that state. And a lot of people, even in Pennsylvania, do hire a lawyer to help them through the process.
Always.
Well, you know, it's tricky because a lot of people do rely on us for their advice, right? So we cannot enter into discussions that would be considered the unauthorized practice of law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does get tricky there. But a lot of times people will call us and we'll recommend that they speak with an attorney. You need to take this up with your attorney? Well, I figured you should know is the pushback. And sometimes I think to myself, well, they probably, you know, don't want to pay an attorney for legal advice.
That's always what it is.
Yeah. And so it's easier just to ask us.
Yeah.
But we got to be careful there.
Yep. You walk a fine line for sure.
We do. Let's talk about when deals go wrong, real estate disputes, how to avoid court. You know, these things can happen, whether intended or not, they do happen. So sometimes people don't want to always disclose because they think it'll have a negative impact on their sale. So as we've often mentioned in all the shows that you've been here, it's always good to disclose, disclose, disclose. Over-disclose is not a bad thing, right?
Absolutely. So that's one of the things I get the most calls about is the seller didn't tell me this or the realtor didn't tell me that, and I know they knew about it. The second most calls I get is my home inspector didn't tell me that the wiring in the walls was bad, or we had had this discussion before that the dishwasher was leaking behind the walls. You know, those aren't things that a realtor or a home inspector are really responsible for. But as I've said before, anybody can sue anybody for anything. It is your job as the buyer to make sure you're trying to protect yourself, and your job as the seller to make sure that you're doing everything you need to do in order to comply with the laws and get your house sold. But there are a lot of things that can creep up in even a well-drafted contract that might cause a dispute along the way.
So would you say the most common dispute would be the buyer's perception that the seller failed to disclose defects?
I would say that that would be one of them that we get lots of calls about, because, of course, the biggest problems that come up in a transaction don't ever go to court, or maybe they do go to court, but they're not as a result of either selling the property. One of the biggest things is, you know, we've got financing contingencies, inspection contingencies, sometimes a survey or an appraisal contingency, or the seller was supposed to do something like clean out the house or make some sort of repairs or something like that. That's where most of the disputes occur, actually, if somebody fails to do one of those things. They can't get financing. They have a bad home inspection, and now we've got to negotiate. Should we reduce the price? Should we back away? What should we do? That's where most of the disputes come in. And, of course, most of those disputes can be maybe not resolved by the proper drafting in a contract, but at least there's guidelines about how you have to address the situation. If it's a inspection problem, if your home inspection comes back and says you need a new roof on this house, and the seller says, well, we just got a new roof 5 years ago, and the buyer says, well, I don't know, my home inspector says I need a new roof. How do you resolve that? And there is a procedure in the agreement of sale for kind of talking about, do we drop the price or do we just back away and move on and try and find another house? But that's really where most of your disputes happen, is internally during the process of buying the house. Of course, we have failure to disclose after somebody's already bought the house and now they've got a problem.
Well, sometimes what happens, though, too, with those inspections and then reply to inspections, buyer asks for A, B, and C, seller agrees to do A, B, and C. Buyer wants the seller to do it with their contractor, their repair person, so on and so forth. Seller wants to take care of it themselves.
I got Uncle Frank. He can do that.
Yeah. Sure. So, the agreement of sale doesn't specifically address that, right? Saying that you have to do it this way or that way. It's not going to do that. It's not. But the seller has the right to repair it themselves.
Unless in the reply to inspection you write specifically that it needs to be by a licensed and insured contractor or something.
Many agents
like that
don't do that.
Most agents don't.
And so, it's the agreement of sale does say that it must be completed in a workmanlike manner, right? Mm-hmm. So who's to really define workmanlike manner? It's fixed, right?
Right.
It's fixed. Here's a receipt from Lowe's. I fixed it myself. And a lot of people can fix things themselves. It doesn't always have to be by a licensed contractor. But then you go and you go look at it from a buyer's perspective the day of closing, and they don't either see the repair or like the repair.
Yeah.
So these are the situations that can happen that can blow a deal right out of the water at the closing table. And we've had actual sellers say that they made repairs when they didn't.
People were just honest?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the buyer can definitely see it. we've had it happen in our office. Our agent, our buyer, could tell that they didn't do them, mm-hmm. and it didn't close.
Right. And I had one the other day where the buyer went to go do the walkthrough, and they actually did the walkthrough the day before the closing. So they went to go do the walkthrough. Well, I had two situations I can tell you about, but they went to go do the walkthrough, and the stove wasn't working. It wouldn't
ignite.
It wouldn't ignite. It wouldn't turn on. They called the seller and they said, "What's going on?" And he was like, "I have no idea." He went home that night because, you know, the closing was the next day. So he was sleeping there one more night. He tried to get it to work. It wouldn't work. And then they had to negotiate. You know, the seller had to decide, are we going to walk away from this closing over the stove not working? And they ended up coming to a monetary resolution. You know, I think the seller gave them a certain amount of money and they bought the house and that was that. But, you know, that's what you can do if it's, you know, if you've got a buyer and a seller who really want to work together. But I had another one. This was so sad. I felt so bad. She was moving here from, the buyer was moving here from New York. She went to go, actually, I don't even think she was here to do the walkthrough. They sent the realtor to do the walkthrough the day before closing and they had already moved out. I think it was an estate that was selling the house. The entire basement was flooded with sewage. Ugh. And so they had to delay the closing, obviously, for weeks while they pumped it out. They cleaned it up. And she ended up buying the house. But it was a whole thing. It happened at the walkthrough. It was covered by insurance. So the seller had to handle it, though. It was very sad. She was really upset about it.
But of course.
It was no one's fault. It just is something that sometimes happens. But
and then you have those situations that happen after closing, right? Even though there was a home inspection mm-hmm. and it wasn't determined that there was a problem. And how many times do you hear as an attorney, I hear as a realtor, that something happened catastrophic in the basement where a sewer pipe explodes, cracks, or whatever, and it was an ongoing problem.
That wasn't disclosed. And
wow.
They had to rip up the yard and put in a new line out to the street. It was bad. It wasn't just Roto-Rooter coming through and fixing mm-hmm. it. And it was deceitful. But what do you do? It's after the fact.
Right.
The windows were open so that they have children, and the windows were open for weeks. And it was colder weather, but they wanted to air it out, right?
Beautiful home.
So how did they resolve it? What happened? Was it a seller disclosure? Did they take it to court for seller disclosure?
Yeah, I don't know. We weren't involved in the sale. So I have no idea what happened. I think there was a discussion.
Yeah.
And with the seller who,
I'm sure, denied everything.
Yeah, and was more interested in something else that they did with the back of the home that they shouldn't have done.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's their home.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, lots going on there.
Yeah, so anyway.
Wow.
Things come up after closing.
Mm-hmm.
And how about earnest money battles? I mean, that's another battle.
It absolutely is. And sometimes, even if someone backs out for, let's say, a financing contingency, something the buyer really can't do anything about, and something that the seller can't really force the buyer to buy the house if they don't have financing, many times the seller, just out of spite and being mad, leaves the deposit in escrow until the contract period. I think in the contract, the default period is like 180 days, so it just sits in escrow until they request it back. Now, I had a deal in New York where I was not involved until it was too late, but the contract did not have a number of days where you can get your deposit back after a certain number of days, but the sellers would not release the deposit. They would never agree to do that. We asked many, many times. The sellers went and sold the house to someone else. They never terminated the contract with my clients. Now, my clients had already gone and bought another house as well, but we kept after them. Will you release the deposit? Do you know it's been at least 2 years? They're still holding the deposit. We still go back to them. The sellers still won't release it, and there's no time period. The only thing we really can do is take it to the magistrates, and my clients are like, I'm not going to pay whatever, even if it's $1 to go get $1,000 back, it's a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money and a whole lot of hassle to try and get this money back. So now it is just literally sitting in escrow.
Yeah.
Years later.
Years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I do have escrow that's been in there for 20 years.
Oh.
And there's nothing I can do.
No.
And the real estate commission won't change that. They will not change it. I would like to just send it somewhere, but their position, it like send it to a holding fund or something.
Like to the unclaimed property,
right,
at the state.
But they don't allow that. So it is troubling because I don't want anybody's money.
Right, right. Right. Yep.
But that's one of the best things that the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors did was when they changed our contracts to say that a certain time period, and then the buyer writes and says that they want it back. And yep. then the seller can take them to the seller. Can take them to the magistrate
yeah.
if they feel that they're entitled to that money. But, I mean, it could get tricky, and I've tried to explain this many times, but when you have somebody emotional on the other side of the phone, it's often not a message they can hear,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, Attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Phone number is 570-209-7901. And our website is O'BrienLawPA.com or Pinnacle-Abstract.com.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, we have a 1,500-square-foot commercial building at 1849 Bloom Avenue in Scranton for $134,000. This property comes with a half-acre parking lot across the street that holds 30 cars. This was used as a karate school. It would be perfect for a yoga studio, a salon space, or a service business. Taxes are very reasonable at less than $2,000 a year, and it's a great location right off Kaiser Avenue. You're on Kaiser Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
The possibilities are only limited by your imagination. That's a 1,500-square-foot commercial building with a parking lot at 1849 Bloom Avenue in Scranton for only $134,000, and that's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
Thank you, Pat. We're excited to welcome Brianna Marie Connell to our real estate family. She's been serving Scranton and the surrounding Pennsylvania community since 2019. Brianna brings dedication, local expertise, and a passion for helping clients achieve their real estate goals. Her commitment to personalized service and deep knowledge of the area make her a trusted partner for both buyers and sellers alike. We're proud to have her on our team and look forward to her many successes that she will share with her clients and the community. Welcome, Brianna Connell. You can reach Brianna at 570-290-3026. Stick around for some more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We will resume in just a few moments. Are you ready to make your next move in the world of real estate? Look no further than Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, your trusted partner in buying and selling homes. If you're a homeowner looking to sell, Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will ensure you get the best possible price in today's competitive market. And if you're in the market to buy your dream home, Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will help you find the perfect place to call your own.
Congratulations.
We've adopted the popular saying, an educated consumer is our best customer. That's why since 2010, we've hosted the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate Saturdays at 11 a.m., Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 The Talker. Visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com or call 570-344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, where dreams find their address. Back in the studio with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
And Attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. We are talking about when deals go wrong, real estate disputes, and how to avoid court. So, verbal promises versus written protection. Any kind of verbal promise by either party should be in writing.
Absolutely.
Right? So we have realtors that push back on that from other companies that say, that's busy work. I don't want to do that. So,
yeah, they do. They do. They're lazy. That's what it is.
You know, a verbal contract can be enforceable. It's very, very hard to prove. It's very hard to prove the details, even if you can prove that there was some sort of an agreement. But if you have it in writing, you are always sure that everyone has agreed on all the terms.
Is a text thread in writing?
That's a good question. It's good evidence that there was an agreement.
Okay.
But it's not... It
shouldn't text, be in place with...
Well, the text thread is usually between the realtors.
Right.
So really... The contract is between the buyer and the seller, so an agreement between one realtor to another is not super binding on the buyer and the seller.
Right. Well, sometimes these agents feel that they can speak on behalf of their client, and I think that's a disastrous position to take, but who am I?
Well, best practices, if you're a buyer or a seller— The best thing you can do is just say to your realtor, like, I know we have an agreement, but can we just get them to sign off on it?
Right.
Get
replies to inspection, change in terms. There's these forms for a reason.
Absolutely.
Receipt of documents.
And they have them set up now that they're pretty easy to fill out, send by DocuSign.
Sure.
They're pretty easy to do now. It's not as easy as just agreeing on a text message, but it guarantees that as a realtor, you stay out of the fray of either the buyer or the seller saying, we didn't agree to that, or as a buyer and a seller, not knowing what your realtor agreed to on your behalf.
Good advice, Attorney Michelle O'Brien. And so... Have you ever had a deal fall apart in the 11th hour, and why?
So many, for so many reasons.
Okay.
We have them fall apart all the time for inspections, and of course, that's not the 11th hour. That's usually during the inspection period. We have lots of deals that fall through on the walkthrough. We had one that I think the one of these that I had to hold the deposit for a long time for that 180 days, they did the walkthrough. There was a tiny bit of water in a crawl space, and the buyer was like, nope, I'm out. So that fell through on the day of the closing. You know, every time we have a closing, we kind of cross our fingers and hold our breath until everything's signed. You know, here's the thing. If the bank's loan documents show up and the borrower looks at the documents and says, uh-uh, like these terms aren't for me, that very rarely happens. Usually people are just like, well, I'm going to sign what I've got to sign in order to get this loan. But sometimes people really don't like those terms and they won't agree to take the loan. So then the deal falls through. We have commercial deals that fall through less often than that. But in a commercial deal, sometimes the deposit is non-refundable. Sometimes we've got, you can't get a certificate of occupancy. You know, there's lots of things that could come up and lots of deals fall through at the last minute.
Well, at the beginning of the show, first half of the show, you mentioned that stove that didn't work on the walkthrough and how there was some sort of compensation. And my question to you is, you know, so buyers, sometimes parties can be unreasonable. Buyer wants a brand new stove and wants the seller to foot the entire bill. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it's a 20-year-old stove, how much is it really worth?
Right.
So, you know, these things could get a little tricky when you're sitting at a closing table, right?
You know, and it always depends on how much does the buyer really want the house and how much does the seller really need to sell the house. And sometimes it really does come down to need. You know, does the seller need the money, so they're going to have to agree to whatever the buyer wants at the last minute? Does the buyer, you know, did the buyer already sell their other house and now they need to find a place to live if they don't buy this house? You know, sometimes it's a leverage situation. Who has more leverage and who, you know, who needs it more and who's willing to agree to more? Lots of times we have a closing where they show up and the realtors say, we just went to the walkthrough and there's so much stuff left in the house. What are we going to do? You know, and they agree the seller's going to pay for the dumpster or going to pay a junk company to come and clean everything out, or they're going to pay the buyer a certain amount of money so the buyer can do it, or they're going to come over in the next 2 days and work it out between themselves to get the stuff out of the house. Well, it seems scary to me because what happens if that person gets hurt in the house and there's no insurance
right
for them? there's just so many issues that could come up. But really, that is what happens at the closing table many times, is there's this back and forth. And we do try to make sure that it's documented, even if we have to handwrite a provision that says, here's how we're going to handle the clean out, or here's how we're going to handle the money to buy to get the dumpster there, or something like that. Very often, it's all happening at the very last minute.
And I'll tell you what, you know, you reminded me, there are more often recently, more often files coming through my office with post-closing writing on the walkthrough by the attorney.
Yeah.
And we ask for confirmation of these items, whatever punch list the attorney wrote down. Mm-hmm. Walkthrough was complete, but it's subject to the seller coming back doing this, 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 and this. I had five closing files that had that.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's a lot.
We never had this come up, but it's happening more frequently now. I don't know what's going on in the universe, why this is happening, but it is.
And I don't know if sellers were more diligent previously, like, you know, 5, 10 years ago. Because every time I've bought a house, they have cleaned it before I've moved in. Everything is in great condition. When I bought the house I'm living in now, the seller came to the walkthrough to show me, I don't know, how
light
the
switches, how to operate this, what to do
what
here.
What keys go to what. Right. He was so interested in making sure that I knew how everything worked and where everything was. And I think, I mean, maybe it's just optimistic, but in the past, I think maybe sellers took it a little more seriously than they are now.
Parties don't even go to closing anymore.
No, we have a lot of that. We have a lot of that where the sellers are like, oh, I can't come in. I'm not coming to the signing table. I want to sign before.
For a variety of reasons.
Absolutely. It's always for a different reason.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And I had a seller one time who took a refrigerator out of the house. It was not on the agreement of sale that it would be included, but she checked it on the seller's disclosure, despite it saying just because something is checked doesn't mean it goes with the property automatically. And it wasn't on the list. It was not on the listing information in the MLS, and it wasn't on the listing contract. And do you know the attorney for the buyer insisted that she had to pay for a new refrigerator at the closing table?
Wow.
And she was the type of person that just wrote the check.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on the agreement of sale. And isn't that?
Well, the agreement of sale would trump the listing agreement, because obviously the listing agreement is just the listing agreement. It tells people the details about the house and what they would like to include. But the agreement of sale is really the operative document between the buyer and the seller.
And it was not on that, that it was included. And he still argued that the buyer was to get a new
refrigerator. He argued it successfully, though, and she agreed to it.
Yeah, so there you go. And I always would tell sellers that I represented, nothing is assured or guaranteed until you walk away from the closing with that check in hand. Anything can happen.
That's right.
Attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901. And our websites are O'BrienLawPA.com and Pinnacle-Abstract.com. We're located in Taylor on Kaiser Avenue.
Thank you. And what type of law do you practice?
So we do lots of real estate, obviously residential and commercial lending, business, and a lot of oil and gas work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You are very well versed in the oil and gas purchases, land, all of that.
Thank you. Yes. We've been working on it for so long.
Very good. Okay, Pat.
Yes. We have a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brick ranch style home. It's at 211 Church Street in Dalton for $275,000. This home is well-maintained. It's on a one-acre lot. It's got granite countertops, refinished hardwood floors. It's got a nice front porch with new railings and new ceilings, a new picture window, new tub surround, and a new roof. It also has a finished lower level and a built-in 2-car garage and beautiful landscaping. That's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brick ranch-style home at 211 Church Street in Dalton for $275,000, and that's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
It's time to wrap up another insightful show of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Be sure to check in with us next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 The Talker.